Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to take a bite out of the competition? Are you looking for ideas to make your business better? Welcome to the Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.
Sponsored by Apple Capital Group.
At the core of every successful business, you'll find people making a difference. And with each episode of the Core Business Show, we talk with those people, examine those ideas, and explore the strategies that make them special. Now, the host of the Core Business Show, Tim Jacquet.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Core Business Show. I'm Tim Jacquet, your host. Today I have a pleasure to have a novelist. We're going to talk about his books, and we're going to talk about his last book, The Last Prophet, Jeff Horton. You can call in at 347-324-3460, 347-324-3460, or you can pose a question in the chat room, and then we'll read it on the air. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Well, I guess to begin with, our listeners like to hear personal stories about the person versus reading a bio. So kind of tell us about yourself and how did you gravitate to become a novelist?
Well, that's a great question. I was in, and still am, in the IT industry for about, 25, 26 years, and you know, it's been a great business to be in, but I started examining several years ago. You know, what would I really like to do? You know, what would I really enjoy doing if I had a choice? You know, for the second half of my career. You know, and I thought, you know, well, I've kind of enjoyed, you know, the times in the past where I've written. You know, I had a creative writing course in college. I enjoyed that. I just, it was nothing that I ever really pursued. And so I decided, you know, it was something that I could do on the side, something I could start up with kind of as a hobby. And if it goes somewhere at some point, you know, awesome. And if it doesn't, you know, that's okay. It's still fun. And so I have found, I got to tell you, that I just really enjoy, I never realized, it's kind of the inner, I have channeled my inner artist, I guess, so to speak. I really just enjoy the pure creativity of writing. Particularly, you know, I don't think I necessarily enjoy writing anything as much as I do a novel. You know, the opportunity to create an entire landscape and characters and personalities and events. It's just pure creativity. And I was, in fact, just explaining, I think, to my wife or my daughter yesterday that, you know, it's well, I certainly appreciate all the other arts, art forms, sculpting, painting, you know, that kind of thing as well. You know, I get to use words, you know, and really I can develop a lot more and explain a lot more and say a lot more, you know, in a novel than I ever could with a, you know, a single, you know, work of art.
Okay. And painting that in your mentally a whole novel, how does that come to you? I mean, do you have it all lined out, or you have an outline where you want to go, or outline where you want to end? How do you put that all in perspective and writing a book that's going to take you from the beginning to the end and have this story so vividly in your head?
Well, you know, it's been a growing process for me, and I think that, you know, from talking with different authors, people do it, you know, somewhat differently. I generally will start, you know, with a basic idea, with a basic premise, something that I really want to kind of speak to, and then I will start kind of growing that. A lot of times what I'll do is I'll map out a rough outline, you know, kind of what the book is going to be about. Then I'll really get started, and I'll start writing, and it's interesting because I've talked with other you know, writers. It's the same way that a lot of times these characters and events tend to take on a life of their own. It's almost like you're just kind of writing down what you're seeing or hearing or, you know, something that's already occurred. It's not necessarily, you know, it's kind of, I know that might sound a little esoteric, but it's kind of true. And so what I find is I'll hit a point. A lot of times I may have gotten as far as several chapters or maybe a third of my way through the novel, and now I have a really good idea, kind of where the story's going. And I can go in and I can fill in the blanks, in the outline and the chapters, and I try to do that so that I can always know where I'm at. And I find writing that way gives me a little bit more of a chance to craft a message, if I'm trying to send one. I'm working on a novel now, for example. It's actually my fifth, not my fourth, called Cyberspace. It's the tentative name for it. And one of the underlying themes I hope people will see when they read this is the whole concept of fear and mistrust. A lack of trust can often lead to violence, particularly in the world stage between nations. And it's that fear that often separates us, fear of one another, fear of what might happen. And that's kind of a constant theme that I return to in this novel. So writing, where I have an outline, where I have an idea of where I'm going, and then I'll get it started. And once it's kind of on a roll, I know better where it's going. And once I know better where it's going, I can make sure that I insert throughout the story the key points I'm trying to get across. Because ultimately, I think that writing has to... one, have some kind of a message, particularly with a novel, some type of a message, and it's really good if you're sharing information or providing knowledge that the reader didn't have before. Like in this current novel, you have to research, when you're writing these things, because all of my novels revolve around, at least to this point, events that could happen, today, tomorrow, or a few years from now, as opposed to some distant corner of a galaxy 1,000 years from now. I mean, everything's kind of based somewhat, grounded somewhat in reality. And so this, I'm working right now, I had to research a little bit, there's some involvement of the former Soviet Union in Russia. I wasn't aware that I wanted to involve Russian intelligence, and naturally, I think of KGB, but actually the KGB kind of went away, and now it's called the FSB when the fall of communism in the 90s. Providing that kind of information, talking a little bit about that, I'll go ahead and I'll research, okay, how is the FSB structured, start providing. And so it's a little bit of a learning, experience for the reader.
Wow. So out of your five books, three are sequential. They follow a certain order. And then two are just totally independent. I think just kind of recap real quick the first three books that you wrote.
Sure. And the first three books, the first one that I actually started writing is The Dark Age. It's actually the second one that was published. It was my first completed novel. I'd had a few false starts, before, and it was set, 500 years, from now, around the year 2525, and it's a post-apocalyptic landscape, and people are carrying swords and riding around on horses because there's no electricity anymore anywhere in the world. Nothing will operate that's electric. And civilization was basically thrown back, 500,000 years. And so I wrote that one first. And then I went back and I was talking to a friend of mine about the book, and he said, well, it'd be really interesting to read about, how humanity got in that situation, got to that point. So I went and I wrote The Great Collapse. So The Great Collapse is set, pretty much in modern times. It could be now or, 15, 20 years from now. kind of how it's actually set in 2025. I mean, but it could be today or tomorrow. And The Great Collapse is about there's a electromagnetic pulse weapon that's designed by the United States but not implemented, and a terrorist hired by Iran basically steal this weapon and want to use it to attack the United States as a step, you know, prior to actually war, you know, attacking the U.S., thinking to knock out all of our power, which would certainly cripple us, and then, you know, followed by an attack. But what happens is a large the weapon's much more powerful than they knew. There's a solar flare that comes at the same time, and the two interact and basically trap this EMP effect in the Earth's magnetic field so that nothing that runs on electricity will operate. And so the Great Collapse basically chronicles, you know, from right before that happens, during that happening, and, you know, how people deal with it, and then, you know, a little bit how they survive, you know, afterwards. And then the Dark Age picks up with that and provides a conclusion, you know, to the story, and you know, civilization may or may not come back as a result of what happens in the Dark Age. The Last Prophet is set, again, in, it could be today or tomorrow, but it's based on chapter 11 in the book of Revelation in the Bible. It's about the two last prophets, the two witnesses that are mentioned in that chapter that do battle with the Antichrist or the Beast. And I wrote The Last Prophet. One of the things I wanted to do is I wanted to capture what I thought it might be like to be one of those two witnesses, to be a prophet, you know, who's going to be instrumental in God's plan for the end of the world and the apocalypse. And so I have, you know, I have I named the character John March, and he ends up having to come to grips with the fact that he has been chosen, you know, by God. He's an ordinary guy, you know, and he finds that he's been chosen by God for this thing. He doubts his ability. He questions, his role, and he struggles, you know, has doubts, and he's impacted when his family is sort of attacked by the Antichrist and how he has to deal with that. So it's all around those kind of issues up until the Second Coming. So that book is, you know, very, you know, biblically oriented. You know, I tried to be as faithful as I could to the chronicling of Revelation as I could. The fourth book, it hasn't been published, but it's pretty much done and ready. I'm just waiting to see on some things. I've still got a few more changes to make to it, actually, before I want to release it, but it's pretty much done. It's called Tales of Eden, and I see it as kind of a Christian allegory, similar to Chronicles of Narnia, but maybe with a little bit of Pilgrim's Progress thrown in. And, you know, there's four children. Their father is killed by a storm, and they are out one day playing in the backyard, and they find themselves transported to another world. And the only way they can get home is to find this relic of Nacor, I call it, and they have to find this relic, and this relic can help them, you know, get back home. So there's... But they have to pass seven trials, you know, which turn out to be, you know, the seven deadly sins. They have to, their group is challenged along the way, along this actual road called the Way of Nacor. So that's kind of, I don't give away too much, but that's kind of the Tales of Eden. And then I mentioned already this, the fifth one called Cyberspace, which I'm working on.
Wow. So where do you get your inspiration in your books?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Where do you get your inspiration for the books?
Well, you know, that's a great question. The first one, you know, I decided I wanted to sit down and write a novel. You're either right about things that you know a lot about or things that you have an interest in. And I wanted to write about something that involved, you know, maybe politics. I like the idea of some, you know, feudal martial art type fighting. And so the Dark Age was kind of a good genesis to that. And then, you know, politics I have some interest in. So the Great Collapse involves a little bit of that in terms of the conflict with Iran and terrorists. And it has, you know, that, again, very relevant, you know, to today's headlines. And mm-hmm. And then the Last Prophet, you know, I've always loved the imagery in the Bible, particularly in Revelation. It's such vivid imagery. Is it symbolic? Is it not? Is there a rapture? Is there not? I'm not necessarily trying to make the Last Prophet any kind of a work of theology. It's more of a story that I hope both Christians and non-Christians can enjoy reading and have based on feedback that I've gotten on it. I just was always fascinated with that. Cyberspace was born initially, or I'm sorry, Tales of Eden, again, I've loved the Chronicles of Narnia, you know, Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe, you know, all the different books. My kids have loved it. And, you know, and J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, who wrote The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings initially with, his goal was, you know, a children's book. Now, it may go a little bit beyond that, too. But so I thought, you know, I wanted to kind of try and do something like that, too. And so I wrote Tales of Eden, a very fantasy type story, which breaks a little bit with, you know, my real life kind of stuff, but it's meant to be an allegory. And then cyberspace was born out of my background in IT, you know, and just you know, the recent events, the cyber attacks that have been more and more predominant, all the secrets that have been stolen, you know, particularly mm-hmm. from the United States by, you know, China, perhaps Russia and others. So I was very, I just thought that would make a great book. And but the difference with cyberspace is it's going to also have a little bit of science fiction thrown in. So I've got a little twist in there that I think I try to. Every artist wants to try and do something slightly different, you know. So I'm no exception.
Wow, how do you define your particular style?
How do I define it? Probably organic. You know, I'm a very
wow.
organic writer. You know, you start mm-hmm. writing, and as I mentioned, you know, I start writing, and the story often kind of takes on a life of its own, and it develops and grows, and that's just, I really enjoy writing that way. It's not, I don't have the complete story from end to end, fleshed out in an outline form and that kind of thing before I start. As I mentioned, I do develop it as I go along. But a lot of it's organic. It just kind of grows.
Wow. Who inspired you when you were growing up to kind of, everyone have someone that they look towards, artists or a writer or a musician and so forth. Who did you look up in the past as you was growing up? Hey, I want to be that particular person. I like his particular style. Who influenced you?
Well, that's a good question. I've always, you know, most writers you'll find, most authors were also avid readers, you know, growing up, and I was no exception. I read, you know, Sherlock Holmes, I think everything about him when I was younger, and loved it. So certainly Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, you know, had an influence. Tarzan of the Apes, Edgar Rice Burroughs, was probably one of my first books that I read when I was really little, and I certainly was impacted by that, along with H.G. Wells, Jules Verne, Charles Dickens, you know, all these guys, I just, you know, really enjoyed their work. I think more contemporary, authors that really influenced me were probably Michael Crichton and Tom Clancy.
I really enjoy.
I've gone back and I'm reading. I saw the movie probably 10, 15 years ago, but I'm reading Patriot Games now. And Clancy is such a master at drawing you in. I was just absolutely sucked in after, I think reading through the first or second chapter. But his style. You mentioned asked a minute ago about style, and I haven't followed this. The Last Prophet is in first person. So I kind of shift around viewpoints. H.G. Wells did that too. I think he wrote The Invisible Man in the first person, and several of the other ones he used, more of an omniscient kind of or third person. I like the Great Collapse and The Dark Age are both written similar to Clancy's method of, you have several different plot points or several different storylines that later on will converge. Maybe somewhere midway, two-thirds way into the story, all the different plot lines will converge. And several of my books are that way. In fact, Cyberspace is somewhat that way as well. And I like that. It makes it a little more complex read.
Mm-hmm.
And some people like that and some don't. Some even of my own family, really like The Last Prophet because it's very sequential and it's always in the first person. Whereas the other ones are a little bit more difficult to follow what's going on as they all come together, But so Clancy was definitely a big influence.
Wow. We're going to take a station break real quick, and we'll be back in a moment. Again, with Jeff Harden, novelist Jeff Harden. We'll be back in one moment. We'll take a station break from our sponsor.
You're listening to The Core Business Show, sponsored by Apple Capital Group. Apple Capital Group in Jacksonville, Florida is a commercial lender that specializes in asset-based loans, equipment leasing and financing, invoice financing, commercial real estate loans, and asset-based financing in the U.S. and Canada. Apple Capital Group is a direct lender that lends on their private equity investment portfolio. 90% of most loans are decided within 2 hours, and vendor funding within 24 hours after documents are completed with a one-page application. No slow no's, just a quick decision and a fast yes. To get more information about lending from Apple Capital Group, call 866-611-7457. That's 866-611-7457 to speak with one of our loan specialists. Or visit us right now at applecapitalgroup.com. Welcome back to The Core. Once again, here's Tim Japan.
We're back with Jeff, novelist Jeff Harden, and we talk about his series of books. Jeff, any advice would you give to a person who's coming through, who's in college or someone who's looking to write? What do they really need to do to make that first leap of faith, that step to become a novelist or an author? And how should they approach publishing companies? Should they self-publish? Can you talk about that, if you don't mind?
Sure. That's really difficult to address because the industry is in such change right now, from what I can see. I'd say, first of all, I read a book by, I think his name is Donald Mass. He's a literary agent up in New York, very successful one. And he wrote a book called Writing the Breakout Novel. Yeah, I think that's a great book for someone who's interested in writing novels to read, and then how, what are people looking for? What makes a novel more successful than another? But he talks about, some of the issues like the move from paper, to more electronic e-books and that kind of thing. So the whole publishing industry, and that all ties into whether you self-publish or you go through a traditional publisher. You get some that are, they're called indies, right? Very, very, very outspoken. You get to keep more of the profits, of the books that you make, that you write. I mean, so there's definitely a real upside to that. One of the downsides, there's so many that it's all about getting above the noise level. It's marketing 101. How do people learn about your book? you got, you know, people have to learn who you are. They have to know that your book is out there, and they have to know that it's something that they should look at. I mean, that's really, and that's marketing. Publishing companies don't probably do as much marketing for authors as maybe they once did, and they're starting to really embrace the whole electronic media a little bit more. You know, all of my books are through publishers. The Great Collapse was through Tate Publishing, and The Dark Age and The Last Prophet were both through World Press. And, you know, there's a lot of a benefit, I think, to going through traditional publishers versus the indie. But if you go indie, I mean, again, you get to keep most of the profits. You have to work really hard on doing the marketing yourself. And you have to. You can use social media. You know, I'm out there fairly regularly on Facebook, book blogs, Twitter, Goodreads, which is a website, you know, pretty much for avid book readers.
Okay.
And library thing. So anybody who's really wanting to kind of get into it, they need to. They need to read books like the one I mentioned by Donald Mass, you know, writing a breakout novel. And they need to learn how to. There's a very specific way that you have to go about contacting agents and publishers. If you want to get with the big publishers, most of them will only talk to literary agents. Now, getting a literary agent is almost as hard as getting a publisher. It's really, really difficult because they're. It's true. I mean, they're really, really tough to get. So
why is that?
Well, I think it's because there's so many people writing. There's more books being written now than ever before. And you got to keep in mind, an agent makes his living off of a percentage of book sales, and so he's got to pretty much leverage his. You know, he's gambling that, you know, this particular author is going to be successful, or that he's going to be able to help make that author successful, so they can both make a good, you know, a good living. Off the writing, so he has kind of a vested interest, and they are the gateway, you know, again, into a lot of the large publishers. Now, if you go indie and you do it yourself, you don't have to worry about agents or publishers. You know, you just go out to Amazon, and the Amazon has a program where you get to keep, I think it's, you can keep up to 70%, you know, because it's all electronic, and then when you start talking about the print media, you get less. I mean, of course, anytime you're printing the book, it's always more expensive, you know, than an e-book. But and then, you know, in terms of you have to write query letters, you know, you have to really learn how to concisely put into one page or even a paragraph, in some cases even a few sentences. You know, if you're writing a query letter either to an agent or to a publisher, you have to be very specific, and you have to really try to hook them. I mean, there's a whole – yeah, I was really surprised by the formality of the whole process. And if you don't have a good query letter, publishers will just absolutely not even look at it half the time. I mean, it has to be – because you're looking at, you know, a grad student. You're looking at somebody who kind of sorts through – it's called a slush pile. You know, all the manuscripts that come in or all the query letters that come in, someone who works at a literary agency or someone who works at a publisher will go through these, and they'll say, okay, it looks interesting, doesn't look interesting. The guy can't write a good query letter, so he probably can't write a good novel. You know, it's kind of how they look at it. Mm-hmm. So they, if the query letter, if you got you know, grammatical errors, if it's, your ideas aren't clear, they'll put it in the, you know, in the trash can. So it's tough to really break into that. And, again, some will say, why even do it? Why not go indie to begin with? Why do you really need an agent or a publisher, you know, in today's market? But, you know, I think there's still a lot of, you know, value there. And in having an agent, having someone to go to bat for you in a way that, you know, a lot of writers, you know, are not necessarily the real, you know, salesy type. And marketing is something that a lot of us find, you know, somewhat distasteful. It's this necessary evil that we do. But
okay, to close out real quick, can you take something out of one of the passages of your books or your recent one, and I guess read something out of it that really speaks to who you are as an author, or you just want to share with one, you know, a paragraph out of your book or something?
Well, sure. There is a in The Last Prophet, in chapter one. I'll just read a brief excerpt from there, if I may, about a paragraph. I have a quote at the beginning of it that reads, "There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy." Of course, that's from Hamlet, William Shakespeare. And then the chapter starts, "Life is only a brief stop on the road to eternity. Our loved ones, acquaintances, and strangers pass away before our very eyes on a daily basis. Yet each of us carries on with our lives as if we will live forever. This is merely an illusion, of course, as it is an inevitable consequence of life that each of us must die. Nevertheless, we blindly follow the music of the piper of this world, progressing steadily on our journey toward the end. We go about life in a dreamlike stupor, living only for the day and for the dollar. We live so entranced and enamored with worldly pleasures and concerns that we become completely oblivious of what awaits us all. We ignore the truth of our mortality at our own peril, however, when we choose to focus on this brief and temporal existence called life, while continuing steadily on our journey toward the eternal existence that awaits us all. It was when humanity lost sight of these truths that it became so susceptible to the deception that was to come, despite having already been warned of the coming apocalypse." So that was from chapter one of The Last Prophet.
Wow.
So,
go ahead.
I was just saying that sets the stage, you know, for I think the rest of the novel. The fact that our outlook and in our culture, and not just in the United States, but really worldwide, has changed such that it's almost set up the perfect environment for the coming of the Antichrist. So.
Wow. Well, that's a powerful statement. You also have a website. Can you direct us to your website? And if you have Facebook and Twitter, if they want to take a look at your other books or excerpts of the other books?
Oh, absolutely. And the excerpts, they can read, you know, chapters and by going to Amazon. But my website is easy to remember. It's HortonLibrary.com, HORTON. LIBRARY.com, and I have links there to my Facebook and to my Twitter, Goodreads. There's actually some excerpts there about each novel, and as well as how people can order them. I think Amazon, you can get it for like $3 or something, an e-book, so it's not real pricey at all, and that's that way for all three of them. But yeah, and I got again Facebook, Twitter. Love to hear from fans or potential fans.
Perfect. Well, we're going to leave it at that. Jeff, I really appreciate you coming onto the program and talking about your novels and sharing your story with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Tim. I'm very appreciative. Have a great day.
Same here. Take care. Again, it's been another production of The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. You can download this episode on iTunes on Blog Talk Radio, or you can get off of blog.applecapitalgrove. Everybody, thank you for listening today. We do ask you to write reviews or Google Plus these particular episodes so we can get a feedback if these shows are meeting your needs. Thank you for listening. Everybody have a great day and stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet. For a free quote on equipment leasing and financing, visit our website, applecapitalgroup.com. That's applecapitalgroup.com. And fill out the information to receive your free quote. We hope you'll join us for our next episode. And remember, you can always get to The Core via iTunes. You'll find all our previous episodes there. Thanks again for listening to The Core Business Show with Tim Jacquet.